Okay, so we're going on to chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. So you can go there now, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. You know, Ronald Reagan said there are 6 words that the American public feared when the government spoke them. You know what they were? The government is coming to help you. The government's coming to help you. He said those are fearful words. Here's some words you might fear when the preacher says, we'll get out early tonight, it's a short message. That's a joke. It's a joke.
We know that.
Okay, thank you. I guess it wasn't a good joke. All right, chapter 3. Okay, what did we study last week? Last week in chapter 2, we saw the Holy Spirit told us to make prayer a priority in the church. Do you think we're doing okay in that department? We're doing pretty good. We lift things up to the Lord. We go to Him in prayer. Even when somebody says, can you pray about this for me? Just right then, just do it. Say, absolutely, give me your hand. And then you just pray, right? They might be a little shocked, but the Lord likes that, see? And anybody that's hanging around, they'll see that. And they'll say, what are they doing over there? Well, we're praying to the Lord for help. So don't be afraid to pray wherever, whenever you're called on to do it. So we should be praying for all in authority, just like we just did. We didn't pray for our leaders, but when we pray for our nation, that's really what we're praying for. So we should pray for all of those in authority, and we should pray for all of us under authority. All those umbrellas, starting with God, starting with then Jesus, then the Holy Spirit, and it keeps coming down. You got your nations, you got your state government, your county government. All those are umbrellas of protection. Well, they're supposed to be umbrellas of protection. Okay? That's slowly changing, and not for a good way. So we should be under those umbrellas of protection. When you step out from that, what are you doing? You're laying yourself wide open for an attack from the enemy because you have left the authority that you were under. That's exactly what Eve did when she said, here, Adam, we can eat this. I didn't die. Well, something died, and it was that relationship with God Almighty. So pray, 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 praying to the one true God for saints, for unbelievers, because you know the scripture tells you to pray for your enemies, right? Pray for your enemies. We pray for Israel. We didn't pray for the Palestinians, but we need to pray for them. They need to get saved. Do you think they would stop if they got saved by God Almighty? Of course they would. They would have a different outlook on the whole thing. So make sure we're praying for the enemies of our country, of Israel. Lift them up. Pray for saints. Pray for unbelievers. Friend and foe. Doesn't matter. Pray for them all. Fulfill God's will for your life. How many commands are given that we just kind of brush over? It's not a Ten Commandments. It's not one of those. But they're in there, and we just kind of, maybe I should be doing that. No, we should be doing it, right? So make sure you're doing it. Why? Prayer is essential. It's essential. It's our communication with our Lord and Savior. It's our communication with His Holy Spirit who's active in the world right now, active in your life right now. Pray, pray. It's essential. Men should pray without doubt or anger. That's what was in chapter 2. Don't lift your hands in anger. Lift them in peace and pray God's will be done. Amen? And walk in that will. And how about women? Well, there was a message there too. Women should dress and act with godliness. That's what it's all about. It's not about what you know, the church has a certain dress code and all that. No, it's about being a godly woman dressing modestly in a way that praises the Lord and gives Him glory, right? Dress and act with godliness. And when you're learning, learn in humble submissiveness. Be submissive to authority and the learning. Now, it doesn't mean you have to take, abuse. That's not what it's saying. Don't take abuse. No. You can do something about that. And it's okay. But submit to what? Godly authority. If you have a godly husband, you can submit. But, you know, unfortunately, this lady, Missy, mentioned she didn't have that situation. But she doesn't have to stay there and take it. Go somewhere safe while you're doing something about it. Amen? God understands that. See, there's another prayer request we could easily put up there, especially this time of year. The stress on families this time of year is unbelievable. Go to the store. Oh, Mom, I want this. I want this. I want that. I want that. Sorry. Got no money. So we need to pray for all those folks. Now, that's just the introduction to chapter 3, okay? I just want you to remember some of the things we talked about and maybe some new things from chapter 2. So let's go on with chapter 3 and let's have a word of prayer first. So Father, we lift up what we're doing here tonight to you, Lord. I pray that we understand your scriptures. We understand your words to us, Lord, that we know what to do. We know how to walk in the Spirit. We know how to do your will so that what we do is glorifying to you and it's an example to others and a testimony to others. That they would do it as well to give you honor and even get salvation. So help us, Lord, to do these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Starting with verse 1, it says this. This is a powerful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Well, what's the work of a bishop? Do you hear that very often? No, you don't hear that very often, but some churches have bishops, right? So let's define some words here to begin with. So I'm going to start not with bishop, I'm going to start with the word faithful. What does it mean when we say faithful? It means that we are steadfast to the facts. What are the facts? God's Word. God's Word gives us the facts. Now, sometimes those facts make us feel a certain way, don't they? But we don't have to be tossed to and fro by our feelings because we have the facts. And we can ask the Holy Spirit, clarify this for me. I'm feeling this way. Help me. It doesn't seem right. Let me get the right meaning out of this. And He will do that for you, right? So God's Word, it is the basis for all of the facts. We've got to remember that. It's not just a casual book that we carry around and we feel good because we have it. Read it, study it, put it in your heart, and do it. Okay? And then we have this word desire. This is a faithful saying. It's a factual saying. If a man desires... Well, you have an idea about that, but in this particular situation, it means a strong inward passion to act. Be a person of action. You have the facts, act on the facts. Live for God, live for Jesus, walk in the Spirit. A strong inward passion to act on God's Word. And then, now I'm going to say about a bishop. A bishop is another word for an overseer. An overseer. An overseer for godly good. I'm an overseer. Ryan's an overseer. Elders are overseers. We're overseeing that what we do in this church is good for believers, good for the saints. That's our job, right? Protecting God's people. That's what an overseer does. Well, you could think of an overseer as a shepherd, because that's what a shepherd does, right? An overseer is a shepherd of God's people. Just like a real shepherd would shepherd the flock that he's tending to. So an overseer is protecting God's people just here? No, wherever they minister. Wherever they minister, they're looking out for the good to show it to people and say, this is God's good for you. This is why this happened. God's looking out for you. He wants to pull you into His family. He wants you to decide to live for Him. So that means doing good in God's plan for God's people. That's what an overseer does. This describes a man who sticks to God's word, God's plan, who shows a strong desire to do good for God's people. That's what an overseer does. He looks out for the good of God's people. And he does it how? God's way. He follows God's way to get that message across. These are the type of men needed to serve God and His people as a bishop, an overseer, a shepherd. The term that we heard there at the beginning, a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. It's like saying, remember what I'm about to say. It's important. Remember what I'm about to say. It's important. When a man desires the position of a bishop, what's he actually doing? Answering God's call to the ministry. Now, whether a church calls him or not, it's really kind of irrelevant. When a man makes the decision to live and work for God, God's way, answering that call of God, because God needs men and He needs women to fulfill positions in the church. What does the Scripture say? My fields are white. That means they're ready for harvest. The plants are fully ripe. They're ready for harvest. But I don't have any workers in my house. I need workers to go out. Well, that's what you're doing when you're answering the call. You're becoming something. A faithful saying, if a man desires a position. Now, women can be called to positions. Same thing applies. When you're called, you're doing God's work. Do it His way. Curtis?
Like what you did when Mike left.
Yes, that's a good example.
Exactly. Amen.
Because
you didn't have to, but you did.
I mean, but here's the thing. God had somebody that could step in. Not seeking it. Not candidating for it, but he had someone ready. Praise God. How long is that going to last? I don't know. I don't know. I had one of these guys come in and get some bread the other day, one of the local homeless. And he made a comment. He said, you look like a pretty young guy. And I just laughed. I said, how old do you think I am? He said, oh, you're probably in your 50s. I said, I'll take it. Then I told him how old I was. He said, man, you don't look that old at all. So what did I tell him? God looks out for those who serve Him. He gives them youth and vigor to continue on. Yes, I have challenges, but I'm trusting the Lord. So it's a faithful saying. Remember what I'm about to say to you. It's important. Men desiring to serve as God's shepherds to His human flock. It's important. God needs men to do that. God needs women to fill positions in the church because the fields are ripe for harvest. Feeding, protecting, guiding the flock as needed. Amen? And then we go on to verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Okay, so here are the should-be-like-this things, right? You're going to call somebody to serve, they should be like this. Call them to be an overseer. This is some of the characteristics. The important things that they need to exhibit. A bishop, an overseer, should be, look for these things, blameless. Blameless. Now that doesn't mean they're sinless, okay? There are none righteous, no, not one. We only get righteousness through Christ. But they have no occasion to be accused of wrongdoing. They avoid the very appearance of evil. That's what the Scripture tells us to do as believers. Avoid even looking like you're going to do something that's not according to God. That's what an overseer should be exhibiting. An overseer should have one wife, not many wives, at the same time. We're not polygamists. Okay? You see the difference? Yes, we're not Mormons. That is true. Total devotion to his wife alone. Sexually and mentally faithful and pure. That's hard to do in our day, society today. We are constantly bombarded with, don't worry about being a moral person. Do whatever you feel like. It'll be all right. No, it won't be. You'll have to answer to the Lord. Temperate. Temperate means clear-headed in thought and reasoning. Don't fly off the handle and cause more problems, right? Be temperate. Clear-headed in thought and reasoning. And then sober-minded. People, what do people want to think of right away? Sober-minded. Oh, they're not alcohol abusers, right? But that's not really what it's going for here. Sober-minded means to be disciplined in the priorities of spirituality and serving God. Be serious about it. Be orderly about it. Be disciplined about it. If you're going to serve, serve only the Lord. And then have good behavior. Orderly, that means that's just not talking about the person behaves well. It's talking about their lifestyle and their family. Good behavior means they have an orderly family and home life. They've been able to teach and control in love their family and bring them along as believers. Hospitable. An example in helping strangers. Yes, helping strangers. Giving an example of the spiritual character of living correctly and showing love even to those people they don't know. Able to teach. Now that's the main duty of the overseer. Teaching God's Word. Teaching it correctly. Following the Scripture. Those are characteristics of an overseer. Verse 3. Now here we go with the alcohol here, see. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Verse 3. Not given to wine is not being known as a wine bibber. One who enjoys lingering long at the wine. Not becoming of an overseer. Don't be known as a drinker and then losing reason, because that's usually what happens when you over imbibe, right? Don't be that way. Don't be violent. Stay calm, no matter what, in all situations. Even when someone is accusing you of something. Take a deep breath. Step back. Chill out for a minute. Don't fly off the handle. Not violent. Not greedy for money, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not covetous. You see, that all goes together. Greed for money. Not being gentle, being quarrelsome, being covetous, that kind of works in a package deal. When you're greedy for money, those things follow along. You lose control because you're looking for something and you're trying to get it no matter what. That shouldn't be the case for an overseer, yes? Thank you for saying that. You know what it reminds me of? Bear your cross. Bear your cross. You're going to follow Jesus? Here's the things you're going to have to take care of. Gives you a list of them. If you don't think you can handle it, just wait. There may come a day when you can handle it, but if you don't feel you can, just wait. Focusing on God to meet your needs. Yes, that's what you should do. Don't be covetous for money. Don't be greedy. Just depend on the Lord. Look to Him to meet your needs. That will eliminate all of that. Right? You can be at peace. Verse 4. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And overseers, an overseer's home life should exhibit a lifestyle of faith. That's what we're talking about. And obedience to God. You should be, that person should be an example of that. Evidence of a strong marital relationship. You get along well with your wife. Having children who submit to parental authority in love. You don't have to force them to do it. They do it because they love you. I have a confession to make, and I'll tell you this. It's a good confession. It's not a bad thing. My father never laid his hand to me or a belt. He never did. Because I had a deep respect and love for him, and I tried my best not to do things that would make him want to do that, right? Well, I guess it helped him that he was at work most of the day long, because my mom, yeah, she put the fear of the belt in me there. But what I'm trying to say is, with love, if you love your children and bring them along in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they'll come along, right? They'll come along in love, and you'll be happy, and they'll be happy. So they need to submit to parental authority in love and respect. But that's not the end of it. You have to teach your kids to respect other authority, because they're not with you all the time, right? There's a term in education that says, it's a Latin term, in loco parentis. It means in place of the parent. So when that child goes to school, that teacher is acting in place of the parent. And it should be from love and respect. Treat the child that way. Hopefully you'll get that back in return, right? Submitting to godly authority from others other than their parents. Verse 5, it's in parentheses, so we'll read it. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? You see, the home is a proving ground. It's a proving ground for men who desire to have authority in the church. The man of the home must exhibit spiritual morality in serving his family, and spiritual guidance in teaching and leading his family. You're teaching them God's word. You're teaching them God's discipline. You're teaching them to love God and respect him, and then you can draw their love and respect for you out of that and for other authority. This Bible, God's word, is the basis for all of that. So this overseer, he should be able to resolve conflicts judiciously and peacefully, building unity and cohesiveness while maintaining an atmosphere of love. Randy reminds me every now and then, love. Got to have love. And he's right. You have to have it, or you're not going to get the other things done. These characteristics are to be learned and practiced in the home to prepare you for service in the church and serving God's people. Verse 6. This person should not be a novice, unexperienced, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So you've got to be careful. You get a position, you got to use that position in a godly way. Otherwise, you get off on a tangent, you open the door for the enemy. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. So stick with the word. You've trained for it by your how you raised your family, how you get along there. Stay with that. Stay in God's word, just like you did then. Curtis.
It shows you how much that God doesn't like that pride issue, big time.
No, he doesn't. Right. And you can think of it this way. Pride can be a test. Pride can be a test. So pass that test. Stick with the word of God. Now, the leadership positions are not given as rewards or because of friendship. That's not how it works. It's not the good old boys club. Those reasons are snares the enemy uses to damage the church. So you have to have leaders. You have to be judicious in your choices so you don't give the enemy a chance to cause any difficulties. The Lord will show those in current leadership who shall be called and when to call new leaders to service. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. So we try to follow the Holy Spirit and be sensitive. Verse 7, we're going to stop there tonight. Moreover, he, the overseer, must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Those who are outside means those who are outside of Christ. They're non-believers. They are unbelieving people of the public community. We have to keep up a good reputation with those people. Otherwise, what happens? Traveling faster than lightning is the bad word that they put out there on you in the community. In the Keys, they call that the coconut telegraph. Yeah. Word travels quickly. That's right. Here again, the enemy will use any and all negativity toward the church to encourage outsiders to speak against the Lord. You see, we can never forget that we are ambassadors for Christ. We don't want it to be hearing people saying, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian. No. We have to be a positive example for the Lord and represent Him in the righteousness and the love that He is. So people must be shown they can respect church leaders from the conduct they exhibit in their dealings. And I should say, the positive, godly conduct that church leaders exhibit in their dealings with the public. Need a few more good adjectives in there. This is to uphold the good name of Christ. Uphold the name of Christ. Let not his name be slandered. And if we can do that, the church will follow in that. They won't slander the church either. This is the Apostle Paul training Timothy to take the church. Amen?
Amen.
Godly advice. Anybody want to make a comment? Make an observation? Now is the time to do it. Yes.
I think in some denominations, they use bishops as one that elevated up from the pastor, one who establishes church, teaches, mm-hmm. church, and some people take that position.
That's right. Some denominations have that as a named position. Bishops. I don't think the Baptists do that. I never heard of a Baptist bishop. But there are some, but we don't do that. Anything else you want to mention? Well, then let's go to the Lord. Father, I'm thankful for those who came tonight to hear your word, Lord. I pray you'll bless them for their taking of time to come out and hear your word, Lord, and be a part of your church. An active part of your church, Lord. Help us to encourage others to be a part, to continue here. Lord, it may be the season, I don't know. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to influence them to come and hear your word. And so, Lord, help us to get out into those white fields of harvest and be a participant in reaping that harvest, Lord. We pray it will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.